Well, glory to God. This is our year of double jubilee. Woohoo! So funny. My husband's so funny. He was all over my sermon several times already, but it's okay. That's how you know you're in the flow. He was all over it. Okay. Last week, we started looking at how to receive more from God. I tell you, this is our year of double jubilee. And he wants you to receive everything he has for you. And we as your pastors want you to receive everything that God has for you during this year. And so we're looking at how to increase your capacity to receive from God. How many of you want to receive more than you ever have before? Deeper, stronger, wider. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we said last week that the first principle we looked at was that we needed to cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Grateful people receive more from God than ungrateful people do. And when God finds somebody who's grateful, it makes him want to bless them more. Let's look at some scripture. Luke. Luke 17:12. I know they were just freaking out upstairs. Luke. Luke 17:12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Y'all hear something about 10 lepers already tonight? Oh, he was all over it. And as he entered, and they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He wasn't Jewish. Verse 20. We got verse 20 in there? No. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. 9 of them got cleansed from leprosy. How many of you know that's an awesome thing? I personally saw lepers when I was in India. I had never seen a leper before, and you know, gosh, it's just a terrible disease. A lot of times the appendages get affected and they lose their appendages. They lose fingers and toes and noses and ears. And it's just a bad, bad disease. But how many of you know that disease getting stopped is an awesome thing, especially in the days before antibiotics and treatments that we have now. It's the disease stopping is awesome. But there was only one who was made whole. One got something extra from God. One enlarged his capacity to receive from God when he came back and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and he began to thank him and he began to worship him. That act of thanksgiving increased his capacity to receive from God. And Jesus said, not only is the disease stopped, you're made whole. Glory to God. I believe his appendages grew back. Ha 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 ha. I think his nose probably grew back. His ears grew back right in front of all of them. I tell you, being healed is great, but being whole is even better. Glory to God. I tell you, there's just something about being grateful. When it came to Abraham, how many of you know Abraham and Sarah, they couldn't have a child when they were young. And now they are old. Now they really can't have a child. I mean, the Bible says it had ceased to be with her after the ways of women. If you follow that, you know what I'm talking about. It was really impossible now. But the Bible says in the Amplified Version that Abraham grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, as he worshiped him, as he thanked him in advance for the miracle he had not yet seen. He grew stronger and stronger in faith, and it enabled him to receive. He grew stronger as he gave glory to God. I tell you, something about gratitude makes God want to pass over 10 other people to get to you and bless you. It really doesn't. And you know, last week at the end of the service, we took a while and we just lavished our thanksgiving on to God. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I was enlarged in my spirit, man. I tell you, I came out of that service about 10 foot tall. you know, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall and all that, you know, but and I'm sure all of you were too. So cultivating a lifestyle of thanksgiving is one way we position ourselves to receive more from God. Another way that we're going to talk about tonight that we can position ourselves to receive from God is by honoring and placing a high value on the things that God says and does. Brother Hagin, who's our spiritual father, our father in the faith, he said often, if we want to see the greater moves of the Holy Spirit, we have to learn to reverence Him. We must learn the honor of God. We must learn to honor the Holy Ghost and honor the anointing. Otherwise, there will be limitations on how much He'll manifest Himself to us. Listen, I want services with no limitations. Listen, I've heard Brother Hagin tell stories. People dancing in the Holy Ghost, danced right off the platform, danced in midair, and came right back to the platform without falling. Glory to God. That's the kind of stuff we're coming into. That's the kind of stuff we're going to see. There were services where there was flashes of lightning. A light went through the service and every sinner found themselves at the altar repenting. Don't even know how they got there. Glory to God. I'm telling you, woo! Those are the greater manifestations. I want to see some of that. I read in the Azusa Street Revival about a hand that had been cut off, grew right back in front of everybody's eyes. The nails came back on. People watched as God put nails on and then painted the nails the same color as the other hand. Right in front of the eyes of everybody. Glory to God. I was sharing that with the children when I was teaching on Wednesday nights in children's church. And the Spirit of God rose up inside of me. And I told the kids, and some of you will see similar things with your very own eyes. If it's happening in the eyes of their seeing, it's going to happen in the sight of us. Amen? Woo! Glory to God. Woo! But we need to reverence Him. We've got to learn how to honor Him, to give place to Him. You know, I said this week, and Pastor Mark and I were laughing because he started laughing when he heard me praying. But I said, Lord, you know, I don't know how. I've never been this way before. I don't exactly know what to do to make a hand grow or what to say. And then I just said, well, Lord, just help us get out of your way. Holy Ghost, you did that through Jesus. You did that through the early church fathers. You did that through those in the healing revival. You did that through those in the Azusa Street revival. Just help us get out of your way. Help us not to be so wanting, you know, a service. We got to sing three songs. You know what I mean? Just do your thing. I give you permission, Spirit of God. Come and do your thing in this place. Divine interruptions of the God kind. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! I am excited. Glory to God. But we need to honor Him. We need to reverence Him. We need to give Him place in a service. We must learn to honor the Holy Ghost and honor His anointing. Otherwise, Brother Hagin said, there'll be limitations on how much He'll manifest Himself. And I want no limitations. Glory to God. I want us to look at God's interaction with Eli the priest in the Old Testament because there's a principle here we need to understand. God was talking to Eli, and he was unhappy with Eli because Eli failed to handle some things that he should have handled. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father, he was a Levite, should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God was upset at Eli because he honored his sons above God. He should have corrected them, and he wouldn't correct his own sons. God said, those that honor me, I will honor. I tell you, when God honors you, how many of you know God can make you look so good? You know, it reminds me oh gosh, I don't really have time, but it reminds me when I came back from my first missions trip, and I was sitting in class, and I it was my first Sunday back, and God actually used me. I mean, can you believe it? I couldn't believe it. I was astounded at how God used me. I was a nobody. I'd never given a whole sermon. I'd never done nothing. I was green as the grass and dumb as the dirt, and I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but God showed up on that missions trip and showed out, and I was so excited, I just couldn't wait to tell everybody, God did these things. Can you believe it? I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes, right? So through a long series, I don't have time to tell the whole story, but the first Sunday that, you know, my first Sunday back, the teacher didn't call on me, though he called on a lot of other people that were on the trip with me and let them tell their stories, but he didn't call on me. But he called on the guys that were on the trip with me. And so it kind of hurt my feelings because he didn't say, you know, welcome back, Rhonda, or anything. And I tell this in Love Walk class, but so it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. And as I was leaving, you know, I had some Job's comforters. How many of you know people? That's people who try to help and make it worse, right? So I'm walking to church and they're like, it's because you're a girl. It's because you're a woman. He didn't call on you. And I'm like, I can't deal with this, because in my heart I was like, I am so mad. And the other side of me said, don't be upset. You shouldn't be upset. It's okay. No, I'm mad. No, you know. Anyway, so I'm struggling with myself, going back and forth with myself, right? And so I finally get in service and the song service goes on and I didn't hear a word. They took up the offering, and I didn't. I was still disconnected because I was having a fight inside myself. Doggone it. You know, even the guys that were there with me, they didn't even acknowledge my return, you know. Nobody said, well, come back. And here, I'm prominently seated in the middle. Everybody saw me. And you know what I'm saying? Oh, Rhonda, it doesn't matter. Let it go. That's just stupid. Just let it go. You know, God knows what happened. That's good enough. And so I'm fighting back and forth, and the pastor gets up, and he starts preaching, and I'm not even listening. Because I got this battle going on the inside of me. Finally, I said, Father, I know what happened in India, and you know what happened. And Father, it's enough for me that you're pleased with me. And if nobody ever knows what you did over there, it's enough for me that you're pleased. And I let it go. I let it go. I tell you, I didn't even get out of the building until the teacher caught me and he said, Rhonda, I'm sorry that I didn't have time to call on you this morning. He said, during the service, the Lord spoke to me during the service. When I let it go, the Lord took up my cause. He said, the Lord spoke to me and you're going to start us off. You're going to take the class next Sunday and share with us what all God did. I tell you, I got up there to speak, and when I did, the power of God hit me. I took off preaching like a banny rooster. I was running back and forth, shouting at them, spitting cotton. Now, they had never, you understand, they'd never seen me speak, let alone, you know, I mean, God made me look so good. God, if God honors you, you've been honored. God knows how to do it in such a way that you're vindicated, you're honored, and everybody sees his hand upon you. Those that honor me, he said, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Honor, according to my Merriam-Webster app on my phone, is to regard or treat someone with admiration and respect, or to salute with a bow. I say, if you honor somebody, you give them and their words and actions the highest value and worth. When I first was on my way as a missionary, I went to Greece, and from Greece we went to Albania. And in Albania, they had just gotten free from communism less than a year free. They just were free. And so because of that, you know, they didn't know anything hardly about the word. They didn't have access to churches or word, the Bible or anything while they were under communism. And we were holding a meeting one night, and we'd been preaching for a couple hours, and we announced like a 10-minute potty break. And all of a sudden, this lady jumps up and she starts screaming in Shep. That's their language. She's yelling. And there's like a riot and all these people are jumping up. And we're thinking, what in the world? Because we don't speak Shep. And so we turn to our interpreter and we're like, what is going on? And he said, that first lady said, I've been waiting for 50 years. There'll be no break. She said, I've been waiting to hear these things for 50 years. There will be no 10-minute potty break. How many of you know that's honoring? She was so hungry. She was like, I don't want 10 minutes now. Just give me more now. Wow. Talk about honoring God and honoring his word and desiring. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing how God showed up and showed out in that room. God said, those that honor him, he will honor. And those that despise him will be lightly esteemed. Now, that word despise, according to my Merriam-Webster dictionary app on my phone, is to look down on with contempt or aversion. God was saying, if you look down on me and my things with contempt and aversion, I will look on you the same way. Glory, I don't want that. I don't want that. Anyway, I have way too much honor and fear of my God to putz around and do things that ought not be done. Okay. God was saying, if you look down on me, I just read that. Which is the definition most of us think of when we think of despise. It means to hate, you know, to have an aversion to not want to have anything to do with. But the word also means to lightly esteem or to not count as very worthy or valuable. How many of you know there's a whole bunch of people who count the things of God that way? They don't think they're very important, and they don't give them very much honor and worth. And because of that, the Bible says he esteems them lightly. That's someone who just doesn't have the discernment and the discretion to know what is truly valuable and what is worthless. You know, on that same trip in Albania, we were doing another church meeting. And literally, they had only been free like a year, if that. I don't even know how long they'd been free at that point. But all of the believers got born again at the same time because it just was open for them to be able to be born again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there were no spiritual elders. There weren't people who had, you know, tons of experience and knew God or knew the things of God or knew how to pastor or anything. I mean, it was green as the grass. And so what they did was the oldest person in that church who was born again became the elder of the church because they were the eldest. Had nothing to do with calling or knowledge or, you understand? He was literally, physically the oldest in age. So he became the elder of the church, though he'd been born again maybe 6 months. All right? So we were in that church, and the word of God was going forth, and the Spirit of God moved in. And I mean, people were getting healed. People were getting filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. A lady, a young girl was down there on the floor having a vision with God, just weeping as God showed her, you know, a field full of grain that had the faces of people on the grains of the wheat and calling her into his harvest. And I mean, God was just, where people are hungry, God shows up. Well, right in the middle of this tremendous move of God, the pastor, the elder, decides to go out for a smoke. So he leaves the meeting and goes out on the balcony to have a cigarette, which, you know, he just didn't even comprehend hardly the reverence of what was going on in there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God was forever changing people's lives, and he was like totally oblivious to the sanctity of that moment, to the holiness of that moment. Are you with me? That's kind of what I'm talking about, that discernment of knowing what is precious and valuable and not knowing what is precious and valuable. How many of you know there's a whole lot of people who don't know what's precious and valuable? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. This is Jesus talking. He said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again, and rend you. Now, Jesus wasn't just saying, you know, disrespecting people and saying, you're a pig and you're a dog. No, he was making a very important point here. There's a principle here. How many of you know pigs do not appreciate pearls? Do they? Now, my husband grew up around some pig farms, right? Some of your uncles raised pigs. And I think he can give firsthand testimony that those pigs have no discernment about the value of a pearl. You could put a pearl and a rock before the pig, and how many of you know he's not going to know the difference? Because he has no discernment. He has no discretion. Discretion and discernment have to do with knowing what's good and what's bad, what is valuable and what is not valuable. You see, a pig doesn't have any discernment where jewelry is concerned. This verse of scripture says he'll just trample that pearl under his feet. How many of you know if you throw that pearl in there and say, gosh, Mr. Piggy, look what I got you. This is a very expensive pearl. This cost me thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. Mr. Pig, this is my precious gift to you. How many of you know you put it in his pen, he's going to trample it right into the muck, right into the mud, and have no comprehension that that's worth anything at all. Before you know it, it'll be buried down there, and he might even just turn around and bite you, even though you just gave him something expensive and precious. Why? Because he has no comprehension that that is valuable, that it's precious. Jesus is making a point here. He's saying, don't give what is precious to people who don't understand its worth and value. All right, so let's look at the other example he gave. He said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Now, I know some people think their dog is born again. Perhaps even spirit-filled. But we know they truly aren't. Dogs have a body and they have a soul, which is their mind, their will, and their emotions. But they don't have a spirit. Now, my husband likes to think that our dog is going to be in heaven when we get there. And I know there are some animals in heaven, but whether those animals are from the earth or not, I don't know. So I'm not going to argue that point either way. But I said to my husband, if that dog is up there in our mansion, it better be the sanctified version of that dog. Because love and the passage of time have caused him to forget. It's that Manasseh thing that he's got. I'm telling you, unfortunately, I haven't forgotten how much stress and all that dog put us through. Nonetheless, if you gave your dog your Bible and you said, this is the holy Bible. This book is holy. Do you understand me? This is a holy book. How many of you know that dog is just as likely to tear it up as any other book or magazine or toilet paper roll in your house? Oh, yeah, or garb trash bag. He's just as likely to do that because he doesn't discern holy. He has no comprehension of the value or the worth of the things of God. Jesus was saying, do not give that which is holy to people who will not appreciate or discern its value and worth. Don't give things of great value and worth to people who won't know the difference between that and a rock. How many of you know God doesn't do that? And he doesn't want us to do it. Listen, you ought not just trust anyone with the precious things God says to you. They're just liable to turn and hurt you, tear you up, either with their words or their actions. How many of you know Joseph had a dream from God? He really did. God spoke to him in a dream. His dream was truly from God, but he shared it with those who were already jealous of him. And where did that get him? Into the pit. And then sold into slavery. And that was the better of the options they considered. He came half an inch from losing his life. Listen, if you don't appreciate what God has given you, he is not interested in giving you more. It's like a wife pouring out her heart to her husband. You know, if a wife is pouring out her heart to her husband and he's watching the TV behind her or looking at his phone, surfing the web, how many of you know she's not going to keep doing that? Why? Because he didn't appreciate and honor and respect the precious things of her heart. Are you with me? And there'll never be the kind of intimacy between them that God has ordained. And you know, God is like that. And if you're talking to someone and they just have no appreciation for what you're saying and they're uninterested, then don't waste your breath. Don't waste your breath sharing what's precious with those who have no concept of its value. Unless God just specifically tells you to. Otherwise, don't lay precious treasure before those with no discernment and understanding. God doesn't want us to, and he doesn't do it either. Listen, if we don't appreciate what God has done for us, if we don't appreciate him and his word and the things that he's spoken, he's not going to give us any more. Matthew 13, 1, Jesus told the parable of the seed and the sower. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came unto him and said, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, how many of you know that seems unfair? But he goes on. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. For whosoever hath, whosoever respects and honors and treasures the things of God, discerns the worth and the value of them, then he has those things. And that's the kind of person who gets even more on top of it. But those who sit here, and sadly, I think some have sat in this very room, heard the things that we've all heard, and then left because they didn't honor, they didn't discern the worth and the value of what was going on, and they lost what they had. How sad. When you're hungry, and when you honor, and when you value what's really valuable, God goes out of his way to give you more. He goes out of his way to give you more. If you appreciate his things and treat his things as valuable and precious, he'll see that you get more. Let's read on, verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. But let me ask you a question. In whose control is it how much they get from God? It's in our control. He's saying those whose heart is tender, those who are really hungry, they're going to get what I'm saying. But those who have hardened hearts, they're not going to understand it anyway. Are you with me? Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. How many of you know they had every opportunity? Even some from this place have had every opportunity to check their heart, to get it right, to genuinely serve and go after God. But they chose instead to harden their hearts, close their eyes, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. From the very first of this church, Pastor and I have prayed over you every time we pray. Father, I thank you. We're raising up a church full of people who have eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that truly understand. I believe you have eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that truly understand. Or you would not be here on a Wednesday night when it's 38 degrees outside and a flu is in our community and you got work early in the morning. You're here because you have eyes that see and ears that hear, and hearts that truly understand. Verse 16. Therefore, go back to verse 15. It said, lest they should understand with their heart and should be converted. How many of you know I believe you're being converted in every area of your life? You're thinking more like God thinks every day. You're learning how to use your sword of the Spirit. You're learning how to access the things of God, how to walk in all he has for you. Glory to God. And you're being converted, and he should heal you. You qualify. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes. I am saying this over you tonight. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. It's so true. It's so true. I know people who prayed for years and decades for a move of God, for the Spirit of God to be in manifestation in their churches. If they had seen half of what we've seen here in the last month, they would have freaked out. God has blessed us, the hungry, with eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that truly understand. And because we are, he just keeps giving us more and more, more and more. Because we value and esteem his things, he perpetually gives us more. Mark 4:24. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, in order to really listen, you have to value what the speaker is saying. If you don't care, you're not going to hear him anyway. You're going to be making your grocery list and thinking about what you got to do at work tomorrow. No, the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Glory to God. Verse 25. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Why is it Some people who started out in God at the same time and place that we did ended up never growing and maturing in the things of God. Why is it that some people who have sat right here in this very sanctuary and heard the same things we all did, yet they didn't get out of it the same things that we did? The difference, I say, is how you esteem what you hear. Do you count it, the Word of God, as valuable and precious? Do you honor the moving of the Spirit that we experience? Or is it just another sermon? Is it just another meeting? It's people who reverence, honor, and respect the Word of God that they're hearing that get more of God. The honor of God is like a magnet that draws the deep things of God to you. Listen to me. The honor of God, the honor of His Word, the respect and the reverence we give to His presence in a service is like a magnet that draws the deep things of God to you. I used to tell our worship team all the time, man, you get up there and you do what you do for an audience of one. You worship Him with all of your heart. You just worship God. If you worship God, the people will be drawn in to what we're doing. I used to tell them, I want God to pass over 100 other churches to get here where we truly worship Him, where we truly esteem Him, where we truly desire Him to be in manifestation and demonstration. And I believe He comes in response to our hunger. How many of you know deep calls unto deep? You can't come here too long unless you're serious, I would think, because we're a bit much. If you haven't figured that out already, we're a bit much. If you stick here, it's because you're hungry. Luke 8:18. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. It's not only important for you to pay attention to what you hear, you need to be careful how you listen. I double dog dare you to come into church every time saying, God, I'm expecting You to speak to me today. I believe, Father, I'm going to come out of that service changed, having heard from You, having heard from Your Spirit. Oh, my goodness, that will draw the things of God to you like a magnet. We'll get off on all kinds of side journeys and hit everybody's business and won't even know why we did it. Sometimes, even when we're talking, God will be talking to you and downloading revelation, insight, and understanding to you. If you come hungry, He'll meet you at the point of your hunger. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. I said to somebody one time, are you listening to me? And they said, I heard you. And I said, I know you heard me because there's noise in the room. But did you hear me? Did you hear my heart? Did you hear what I'm saying? How many of you know there's a difference between hearing and listening? I want to know Him. I want to know Him more than I ever have. I want to experience Him more than I ever have. I want Him to demonstrate and to be here greater than He's ever been. That's the kind of hunger that draws the things of God. Listen, if I have to go alone, I'm going, but I don't think I'm going alone. Because glory, glory, that's our story. We have an appointment in the glory, glory to God, and we're keeping it. For to him who has spiritual knowledge will more be given. And from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away. When you don't honor and reverence the precious things of God, then the soil of your heart is not right. And the revelation which goes forth from the Word of God, revelation that could have and should have changed your life, is stolen away by the enemy and never never produces fruit in your life. There's been an awesome prophecy that has gone forth for this church about the year of double jubilee. That prophecy given by God for our church body. The more you reverence and honor and believe what God said, the more you're going to get out of it. I want to receive everything God has for you. I want you to receive everything God has for you this year. Everything he has for us as a church body. Everything he has for me. Therefore, when the word of God comes forth and it bears witness with your spirit, then we need to honor that, believe it, and act on it. So I want the ushers to hand out the cards I made for people to write down what their year of double jubilee means to them. So everybody, if you'll take a card. I was going to give a veiled reference to the Conovers, but Pastor just said it. So, the Conovers wrote down what the year of double jubilee would mean in their life to them, what they needed from God. And they've already gotten two things off of their list in the first month. Hard things, things they've been standing for, things they've been believing for. Listen, what is my point? God is moving. Let's jump in the flow. God is moving. Let's jump in the flow. This is our year of double jubilee. What do you want? I don't know. What are you going to get? I don't know. How many of you know that's not where we ought to be? So the card says, what does the year of double jubilee look like to you? So I want you to write down at least one thing. Some of you may have to take it and think about it, but I want you just for right now to at least write down one thing on that list. What would you like to see God do in this, the year of double jubilee? If you don't have it, a piece of paper, raise your hand. Everybody get one? All right, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes because it's time for us to go. Has everybody got at least one thing down? Surely you're believing God for something. If you don't got nothing to believe God for, come see me after the service and I'll give you a list. You can help me work on my list. All right, we're going to do what the leper did. We're going to do what Ollie does. We're going to do what Abraham did to grow stronger in faith. Abraham grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. What we're going to do is take a minute. We're going to thank him in advance for the year of Jubilee. Thank him in advance for what you just wrote on that piece of paper. Glory to God. When the armies in the old covenant thanked him in advance, the Lord set ambushments for their enemies. And the enemies turned on themselves and killed themselves. So that by the time the people of God came over the hill to look down on them, they were all dead, having turned on themselves and destroyed themselves with their own evilness. I tell you, something happens when you praise in advance. Something happens when a shout of faith goes up in advance of even seeing God do it. So why don't we stand up together? Father, we hold up before you these things that we would like to see in this our year of double jubilee. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, and we believe. We honor the word that you spoke to us as a church body. We believe it. We honor it. We esteem it. Oh, and we thank you in advance. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, we thank you in advance, Father, for what you're doing. Ha. I thank you in advance for working out those things in the lives of our people. I thank you, Lord, for great victory on every side. I thank you for demonstrations of the Spirit of God. I thank you for even things they have stood for. Things they have stood for a little while, coming to pass quickly. Coming to pass quickly in Jesus' name. Ha, 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 ha. I thank you for jobs and better jobs. I thank you for healings in bodies. I thank you for healed marriages. I thank you for children coming home. I thank you for property and things lost being restored. Father, I thank you for great financial increase for the people. Father, I thank you. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, for supernatural children being brought forth. I thank you for your promises. We believe you and we esteem your word. We esteem the prophecy that you gave us, and we add our faith and we add our thanksgiving in advance. We don't even have to see it to know it's coming and to thank you for it, Father. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now listen, I want you to take this seriously. I want you to go home and prayerfully think about what your year of double jubilee would mean to you. Then I want you to write those things down. We're going to rejoice over them. We're going to believe God together, and all of us together are going to get everything God has for us in this, the year of double jubilee, because we have eyes that see. And ears that hear, and hearts that truly understand. And we reverence him, and we respect and honor him. And because we do, he honors us in return. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Is there anything you want to add? Mr. already gave my whole sermon. No? No, he had no idea I was going to do that tonight. So, I mean, he doesn't ask me what I'm speaking on, and I don't tell him. So he had no idea I was going to do that. But in the mouth of two or three witnesses, how many of you know it's obviously a God idea? And so we got it done. Take it home. Pray over it. Take it seriously. Let's just believe God. I double dog dare you to get crazy big stuff on there. Get crazy big. What's that? What did Patty call it? Ridiculous list. Get a ridiculous list. So totally stinking outrageous, it's just ridiculous. But God. Amen? Amen. All right, you're dismissed. We'll see you on Sunday.